Rabbi Soloveitchik mentioned that the minig in Europe, where he came from, was that when the chazan repeats the chazaras hashatz and aseres meitshuveh, the tzibur only says along with the chazan the last two tefillos that are in the end of the Shmoneh Esrei. In other words, Achsev l'chaim tevim called b'nei b'ri secha and b'sefer chaim. They don't say along with Zerchena l'chaim and micha moicha. The old timers from Breuers also do like that. The Europeans who remember from Germany, they also do like that. The younger generation wasn't there, so they say all four, they say along with the Chazan. The B'nai Yisoscha writes like that, that was the minig. You only say along with the Chazan the last two, you don't say the first two. The question is why should there be a difference between the two? So B'nai Soscha gives some kind of an explanation, which I did not understand. It's a lot of Kabbalah, based on the assumption that the Gimel Rishonis, the first three brachas in the Shmoneh Esrei, are supposed to be an outline of Shevach, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the last three brachas are supposed to have the theme of Hodoya. In the middle you have the Bakosha Sarochim, so somehow he gives some kind of explanation. Rabbi Soloveitchik also, when they posed the question to him, why a distinction? So he also gave some kind. I turned off my hearing aid when he was saying it because I didn't think it made any sense. And then years later, I saw the B'nai Soscha says that, and now I want to kill myself. Why I wasn't paying attention when Rabbi Soloveitchik gave an explanation? But I didn't know what either of them said. But they both started the same way. They didn't continue the same way. They both started the same way. Years ago, Rabbi Teitz Zichron Levracha used to be in Elizabeth. I think he learned in Telz Yeshiva in Europe, if I'm not mistaken. He said that was the minig in Telz also, but he gave a simple explanation why. He said that in Zachrein Olachayim, we mentioned Shem Elokim, Hancho Elokim Chayim. So when it's not part of the Chazaras Hashatz, when the Tzibur is saying it, it's a Chashash of Motzi Shem Shemaim Levatola. So that's why we don't say that. Then he said, there's no bakasha there. You're just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no, it's not so important to mention that. Zechrein Alechaim is a bakasha. So it would have made sense we should ask the bakasha along with the chazm, but we don't do it because of the Hatzor Hashem Shemaim unnecessarily. Nechsev L'chaim Tevim, Sefer Chaim, those are bakashas. So that makes sense to say. That was the explanation, that was the official explanation that he said from the Telz Yeshiva in Europe, where he learned.
Chsev L'chaim
isn't
a bakash?
Chsev L'chaim is a bakash, yeah.
What?
The first one's a bakash, the second's a bakash? No, three out of the four are bakashas. Mecham Moch Avarachman, Zechit Tzu is only Shevach. So that we don't feel it's important we should say along the Shevach with the Chazan. But the other three, we would want to say along, the other three are bakashas. But the first one, Zechrein L'chaim, we don't say because of the Chashash HaMotzi Shem Shamayim Lato.
Isn't
that
the Onim asked how, how can we add these things in the beginning, aren't they? Batashu B'Makom Sheva, and
yeah.
Batashu L'Radim. And how long the question was only on Zechrein, it was also on Nikam Al-Khan.
That what?
That it's the Bakasha and the little Sheva, it's inappropriately placed. And the answer was, the Batashu L'Radim is okay in the beginning, right?
Right.
And the question was on both of them.
Question was on both of
Zochrein and
Nikamoch.
Not just on
Zochrein.
No,
Nikamoch is only Shevach. That's not Bakosha.
No. Why were they bothered by both of them?
They probably were not bothered on Nikamoch. There is no Bakosha Sarochim. Nikamoch is just Shevach. There is no Bakosha. Who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who remembers his people, but we're not asking him to, we're just praising him. He's saying the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But how does that answer the minhag of not the first two, but the last two?
Because the second one, Michamach HaVarachmim, is not a bakosha. So that we don't think that it's so important to say that along with the Chazan. We didn't say all the other Shevach, Mechal Kachayim Mechas and Mechayim Esim, everything is Shevach. So Michamach HaVarachmim is another line of Shevach. So you don't feel it important. The other three that are added on are bakashas. So we would like to say all three. But the first one of them, there's a chumre of a chashash of a motzi shem shemayim ulatov. Because it says shem alakim. So that's why the minig was that they didn't say that.
We only see the last two then?
They only said the last two with the Chazaras Hashatz, yeah. I remember when I printed this years ago, I printed this in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, and then I wrote in the footnotes that the B'nai Yisoscha writes this. So there used to be a librarian in the Gottesman Library, Mandelbaum. He wrote a book. He wrote a book on bibliographies. I think he was supposed to be a bibliographer. So he was a chassidish person from you. He said he never heard of that. Then he saw the many Soscha says it. He says he was surprised where he came from. He said in Europe they said all four, but what Rabbi Soloveitchik said where he came from, the meaning was only the last two. In Seres Meitshuvim, before when we say Slichas, so we say Vidui in the Slichas. So the standard text is Aval Anachnu Chatonu. So Rabbi Kevegan writes that more correct is here in the Birnbaum Machzer. It says Aval Anachnu Chatonu. So Rabbi Kevegan says he quotes Achrenim that the more correct version should be Aval Anachnu Vavuseinu Chatonu. Because the Pasuk in Chumash says, his father was Savoyna, and his Savoyna Avoysam. They should say Vidui on their own Averis, on the Averis of their parents as well. Then Acharonim add on that at the beginning of the Vidui, when you start Lakeinu, Lakei Avoseinu, you should add on the word Ona. Ona Tova Lefanecha Tfiloseinu. Shouldn't just leave out Ona, because the Gemara says that when a Kohen Gadol recites Vidui, a Yom Kippur, Minayin Sheba Ona. Gemara learns that from Pesukim Chumash, that the Kohen Gadol has to say Ona. Ona means please. Ona Hashem. Yeah, we don't understand the first line. Say Ona Hashem. The Kohen Gadol says Ona Hashem Chatos Avise Peshaito Lefanecha. Ona Hashem Kapana Lachatoyim Velapshayim Velavoinus. So if he would have said Ona in the beginning, please, and he gives the introduction, we all sin and please forgive us. But he says Ona twice. So what does he say? Ona Hashem Chatos Avise Peshaito Lefanecha. Please God, I sin. Ona Hashem. So if he says please before the second half, so why did he say please before the first half? He didn't ask anything. There was no bakasha sarachim in the beginning. What is it? Ona Hashem chatos habisi pashaite ulafanecha. So Rav Soloveitchik said the Bali Musa used to say, the darshanim in Europe used to say, if they ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be kind enough to give you the ability to realize that you did an aver. Not everybody is prepared to admit that they did an aver. Usually people tell over a story. They're always the hero of all the stories that they tell. He told the story the other day about Rab Chaim and the Yor Sameach. So the way it's printed in the biography of the Yor Sameach, Yor Sameach was the hero. The way the Soloveitchik family says Rab Chaim was the hero. Rab Chaim outsmarted the Yor Sameach. Each person tells over the story with his version of the story. So you have to say, Oh Hashem, please give me the ability to realize that I did something wrong, that I sinned. So the Achrayim recommend that the proper practice is that when we say Vidui as well, not on Yom Kippur, even in the Slichas, we should start off on Hashem Chatos Yavisi Pashay Telefanecha. I mean, Ona Tov Lefanecha Tfilosena, they add on the word Ona. In Aseres Meitshuva, we add on Zachayin Lachayim, V'chaseinim Seif HaChayim Ma'ancho Alekim Chayim. So the Chayyodim says, based on Kabbalah sources from the Rekeach, has on Siddur a lot, and he counts every letter in a sentence, or every word in a paragraph. So based on how many letters there's supposed to be in the phrase Achrein Lachayim, so the Chayyodim thinks you have to leave out two letters, has two letters more than it's supposed to have, so he thinks he should throw out the two letters V'chosveinu v'seif ha'chayim. You should leave out the vav of V'chosveinu, and instead of saying seif ha'chayim, you should say Sefer Chayim, because otherwise you're going to have too many letters according to what it says in the Rekech. Then he says also, we say Kemoshi Adainu Shal Shalton Lefanecha. He says, I think also based on the Rekech, I didn't check it again this time, he says you should, there's one word extra there, there's an extra word, so he says the word, you should leave out the word Kemoshi Adainu. You should just say Shiadainu Hashem Elokeinu, because according to Kabbalah it's supposed to have one word less. Then there's a question what the nusach should be. Kolarishu kula bi oshen tichla or ki oshen tichla. So the Chayyodim thinks that more correct is to say kolarishu kula bi oshen tichla. It means the same thing, and I think each way there is a phrase in Tanakh. The premise of the whole Sefer Abu Dram is that every phrase in the davening is supposed to be based on biblical Hebrew. So both expressions appear in Tanakh. The Hayyadah presented as if it only appears bi'oshen tichle. But the others point out that the other expression ki'oshen tichle also appears in Tanakh. And the Hayyadah thinks the more correct is to say bi'oshen tichle. Then he thinks also that the correct pronunciation should be shahasholtan lefanecha. That's what it says in the Birbal, shahasholtan lefanecha, where the comments under the shin, not shahshilton. Shahasholtan is more correct.
Why is it more correct?
Based on Tanakh. I don't know. Based on biblical Hebrew. I'm not sure. I mentioned that the minig Arizal is that you say Shir HaMalos in between Yishtabach and in the Chatzi Kaddish. And the Mogen Avraham quotes this and he says he's very surprised. The Gemara has a din, you're not supposed to talk. They quote it as if it's a Yerushalmi. The Achranim say, we don't have such a Yerushalmi. They quote a Yerushalmi that if a person talks in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror, it's not permissible. That according to the Machlokes HaTanoim in the Mishnah and Soita, Perek Mashoch Muhammad has all the dinim of war, unfortunately. Right, so there was, every other week there's another war. Every year there's another war going on in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a whole Perek about dinim of the Muhammad. So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. It says, "Mihu ish ayori verachal evav." If a person is afraid, they shouldn't take him in the army. So the we pass on lalocha yori. The guy's he won't be able. He's going to collapse. He's so nervous. He's going to fall to pieces in the war. So you shouldn't have him in the army. He's going to just cause all the soldiers to lose the war. And one Tana is of the opinion that most of the Rishonim do not pass like this. The Rambam does not accept this. One Tana is of the opinion. In the Mishnah, Yorim Yaverish Abiyoda, that if the person does Averis, you don't take him into the army. And then the Gemara points out there's a Machlekes Hatanoim in the Mishnah and Soita. Is it only if he's in violation of Averis the Raisa, even if he violates Averis the Rabban? So, for example, let's say a person talks in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. So the Gemara says, he talks in between Tefillah Sheyad and Tefillah Sherosh. That's an aver de rabbanon because he's goren bracha sheinat tzricha. Some hold that a bracha of atol is an isa deraisa, but to be goren bracha sheinat tzricha, that everyone agrees that's only an aver de rabbanon. Once you talk in between Shalyad and Sherosh, then you mechuyev to say another bracha. It's not a bracha of atol, but more correct would have been you shouldn't have spoken in between Shalyad and Sherosh. So the Beis Yosef quotes such a Rishonim quotes such a passage from the Yerushalmi, which doesn't exist in our Yerushalmi, that Hasoch ben Yishtabach liyotzeror, one who talks in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror, is also Aver Hibiyodai, Chozer Lech Miyorcha Melchama, according to that Tana, whom we don't bask like that one who does Averis is not taken into the army. I told you over the story that they tell, that in Valojan, on Purim, they put on a skit, and they had so many maskilim, so they were making fun of the Gemara's vision of the army. So they had a draft board, and all the people who got letters in the mail that they should come to the draft board were being interviewed. And they asked them, did you ever do this aver, that aver? So they kept on passing, they kept on kicking everybody out of the army. And turned out there were only three people in the army, I think, the Vilna Goyen and the Shagasari and the Nitziv. That was the whole army. So the whole thing was a big joke. They were making fun of the way the Gemara visualizes the Jewish army. If you did an aver, they don't let you an aver, they're Rabbanon. So all the students were rolling laughter on the floor, and the Netziv was sitting and listening to the whole skit. He said, "No, no, no. So what's the end of the skit?" So he said, "That's the end." So he said, "No, the end was we won the war. If you have religious soldiers, they win the war."
Rabbi?
I told you, Rabbi Lior, Rabbi Dov Lior, who used to be in Kiryat Arba, he used to be the Rosh Yeshiva. There's a big yeshiva there in Kiryat Arba, Yeshivas Nir. Mr. Nir from Mexico paid for yeshiva, so it's called Yeshivas Nir, Nun Yud Resh. So Rabbi Waldman and Rabbi Lior used to be called Rosh Yeshiva. So Rabbi Lior always says like that, that they should only have, the Israeli army should only have Hezdanikim, only religious people. They shouldn't take any chil on him, and then they'll win all the wars with nisim and eflos. The reason why it's weaker is because they have all the secular Jews in the army. They don't only have religious people the way it's supposed to be, but we don't really pass them like that. Yeah?
Don't we say in Shulchan Aruch that Ramah has the time to do an appeal for tzedakism between Shtabach and Baruch?
Yeah, okay. There's a din of ikub ha-tfilah. Sometimes it's very important, so you ma'akev the tfilah.
You wouldn't say that here?
That's the minig of Darizal is based on that. That it's so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive the sins of his nation, so we do ikub ha-tfilah. We don't let the chazan proceed with the davening, because we have to scream. We have a case against the Ribbono Shel Olam. He should take care of his Jewish people. He should forgive all of our sins. So we do ikaba tefillah against the Ribbono Shel Olam. I remember a woman told me that she was, I used to learn Charusa with her son when I was in college in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. So she was a religious woman, modern American woman. She didn't know any kunsten. So in Boston at that time, all the shuls had a balcony upstairs, and the mikveh was in disrepair, and there weren't too many women using the mikveh. So the people, the old timers who had the money, didn't want to give any money to fix the mikveh. So there was an old European rabbi there, wasn't Rabbi Salvation, an old European rabbi told the modern women on Shabbos morning they should go down from upstairs and stand in front of the chazan when everybody says Yishtabach and scream at the people in the shul they have to make an appeal for the mikveh. So the women didn't know any kunsten. The rabbi told them they should go downstairs. So they went down and they were screaming, and they made Rabbi Margolis, if I'm not mistaken. Rabbi Margolis told us, I think he learned by the Chofetz Chaim. He put out Gavriel Margolis, put out Svar Machumish with a drush. So they were screaming, and the men were so upset. What do you mean? In the middle of davening, what's going on over here? They say, Rabbi Margolis told us that we should do the Ikavat Tefillah. If the tzibur is not taking care of what they're supposed to say, here we do an ikavat tefillah against the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's supposed to be what the Arizal's thing is based on. Yeah.
Isn't it not just that the Rambam says how they used to say Az Yashir between Yishtabach?
Right. So the Mogen Avraham says he doesn't understand this meaning Arizal because you're not supposed to talk in between. So the Dogel Mervava, the comments of the Nadav Yehud on the side of the page, says he doesn't understand what's the kasha of the Mogen Avraham. The Rambam writes that there were communities where they would add on Oz Yashir in between Yishtabach and Yosera. So you see, it's not so bad to be mapsik in between. So what is Mogen Avraham so upset about? So the Emek Bracha is a popular sefer written by a person who learned by Rav Elvela in Europe, in Brisk. And later he survived the war and he lived in Eretz Yisrael for a while. So he put out a sefer Emek Bracha on Inyoni Orachaim, mainly on Inyoni Orachaim. He has very nice comments. I think he has a haskama from Rav Elvela Soloveitchik on the sefer, if I'm not mistaken. So he says the taina of the Mogen Avraham was only because Shira Malas is Bakoshes and Tachnunim. Oz Yosher is more Psuka de Zimra, Baharaya. We say it in Psuka de Zimra. The Rambam's meaning was that you don't say Oz Yosher in Psuka de Zimra. Why not? So I'm so said, because in Baruch Shema you say Shiri David Abdecha and Halelcha. The Psuka de Zimra is supposed to be from Tehillim. Shiri David Abdecha. David is described in Tanakh as the Im Zmiris Yisrael. He was the one who composed all the Zmiris. So Psuka de Zimra is supposed to be from Tehillim. So if you want to add on Oz Yosher, so the Rambam quotes a minig that they added it on after Yishtabach, not to say the middle of Psuka de Zimra. We say the middle of Psuka de Zimra, but Shir HaMala says Trinas, that's not at all Shevach. So Fakert, some felt that the way to solve the problem, not to be Mapsik in between the Yishtabach and Yatzarar, is to say Shir HaMala earlier. They say Shir HaMala at the end of the Psuka de Zimra before Yishtabach. So that'll be a bigger Hapsik. You're putting in Trinas that don't really belong over there. Apparently Rav Moshe Feinstein's practice was in the yeshiva and MTJ that they wouldn't say Shir HaMalas in between Yishtabach and Yatzarah. They would say after Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris. Yeah.
So does my grandma quote why is in the Yerushalmi that it is a problem to like, have Hefsik? Like, does he say what the reason is why you're not supposed to have Hefsik between Yishtabach and like Yosera?
Does the Mogen Avraham say
a reason why it's bad? He says you're not supposed to have a hefsek, but why? Like he's like, I thought the whole idea of not having a hefsek was because of the brachos. We had the bracha of from Baruch Shamar to Yishtabach. And some people say it's like one long bracha. But we finish after you finish your shtabach, like what's the issue of stopping?
No, the idea of saying Psuka de Zimra is Leolam, there's a machlokes of Rishonim, what Psuka de Zimra is all about. So some, the Balei HaTosfos were of the opinion, the Gemara calls Psuka de Zimra Halel. He chelkim gomri ha-halel b'chol yom. I hope I'll always be able to say Psuka de Zimra. The Gemara says, but you're not allowed to say Halel b'chol yom. One says Halel b'chol yom, ha-reza mecharef ha-megadev. It's not permissible. The Gemara says two different kinds of Halel. That's called Halel ha-mitzri. We call halal, the Gemara calls halal la mitzri. That's a halal la nisim, the ma'ila menatev. We said, that you're not supposed to say every day. We don't want the Rabban Shalom to do nisim. You shouldn't expect them to do nisim every day. It says three times in Tanakh, chok nasam elo yaber. Kodesh Bochum made chuk yateva. He himself doesn't want to violate chuk yateva. When he has to make an es, it's vayerid Hashem. Vayerid Hashem, it's a yerida for him. The Rabban Shalom wants to be a kel mistater. He wants to hide. He doesn't want everybody to see that he's changing nature. So the so we don't want to say halal hamitzri every day. But the halal psukah de zimra, that's a halal of teva. That's not a halal of lamayla menat teva. So according to the opinion of the Baal HaTosfos, let's say a person comes into shul and they're up to baruchu, came late, they're up to baruchu, so he should start saying shulchan aruch. He should start with baruchu and daven with the tzibur. And after davening is over, he should say Psukah de Zimra with Baruch Shama and Yishtabach, because it's like halal. If you didn't say halal in between Shachris and Musaf, you can only say halal kol hayom. The Mishnah says halal kol hayom. So the Rabbi Yonah disagrees with this, and his opinion is that the whole idea behind reciting Psukah de Zimra is only based on the Odom Yisad Odom Shvachos Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu V'Hakach Yispalo. You have to so the way we do that, you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tefillah really consists of bakashas sarachim, but the Haaretz dictates you have to introduce the bakashas with a little shevach, and you have to end off with a little hoidoya, and then you have the bakashas sarachim in the middle. So strictly speaking, you would say with the Gimla Rishaynes, the first three brachas of the Shemona Esrei, and then both on the weekdays, on the Shabbos and Yontif, the middle tefillah, the middle brachas, are the ones that have the bakashas sarachim. And then we even do more than that. We have more introduction of Shevach by reciting the Birchas Kriya Shema right before the Shemoneh Esrei without being mafsik. In Masmach Gula the Tefillah, because all the Birchas Kriya Shema also consist of Shevach. And then you enhance that further by saying Psukah de Zimra before. So the whole thing is based on the Yod, the Misadar, and Shvach HaShal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chakach Hispal. So that's why you're not supposed to talk in between the Psukah de Zimra and the Birchas Kriya Shema. You're not supposed to talk in between Gual Yisrael and the Shemoneh Esrei, because you want to have that the Shevach that you said in the beginning is the introduction to the Bakasha, introduction to the Tefillah. Because of this Machloikas HaRishayim, the Ramban has Machloikas whether it makes sense to say Psukah de Zimra after the davening or not. If you say that it's really like halal, the Gemara calls it halal, so it's like halal is kol hayom, then you can say Psukah de Zimra all day long, even in the afternoon. If you say it's only for the purpose of Yisad Dorah M'shvachah Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'chakach Yispalol, then once you're ready Davin Shman Esrei, it does make sense to say the Psukah de Zimra. So the Ramban has a tshuva, which they quote in Shulchan Aruch on the side of the page. Ramban has a tshuva where he says that because of this machlekes, if a person came into shul late and he started with Baruch Hu, with the tzibur, that's where tefillah b'tzibur begins with Baruch Hu. Soloveitchik said, even if the chazan is going to sing a kelod and it's going to take 20 minutes, chazan with a choir, it's going to take a long time, and you have enough time to start from Baruch Shama and say all the psukah de zimra, you shouldn't do that. And Shulchan Aruch says, if you come to the shul, up to Baruch Hu, you start with the tzibur, you say Baruch Hu. So then after the Shemoneh Esrei is all over, then the Ramban has this pshara, the compromise. You should say the Psukah de Zimra, but you should leave Baruch Shama and Yishtabach. Because according to Hefer, the Rishonim Erdi Abrach Levatola, there's no value in saying Psukah de Zimra after they ready daven. But according to the other Rishonim, there is value. The Ramban is the one, the Tshuvas Ramban. A lot of times they're not sure, they're called Tshuvas HaMichosis LaRamban, they're really Tshuvas HaRashbo, could be as Tshuvas HaRashbo. But in Shulchan Aruch they call it Tshuvas HaRamban. That's the compromise that it says. If a person abridged the Psukah de Zimra, let's say a person, there are different opinions how you can abridge the Psukah de Zimra. So basically, they taught us when we were young children, they shouldn't have told us the secret that if you say Baruch Shama Asher Yishtabach, so you have succeeded in saying the whole Psukah de Zimra. And the main thing is the Ashrei. That's how we paskin. There are other opinions that it's not so. That's how we paskin. If he said already, Baruch Shama Ashrei Yishtabach, then you don't gain anything by saying the rest of the Pesukah Zimmer later. You already you had the Pesukah Zimmer. You already said the Halal B'chol Yom. So that's the issue regarding the Shir Amalas. Many Ashkenazis is that you don't say Shir Amalas. Yeah.
Does that mean that there's no reason to go back? Like if you said Rosh Hashanah, Ashrei and Yishtabach, and after Shemar Ashrei, there's no reason to go back and make up what you missed?
Right, right. You only make up if you missed the Legamre. If you didn't say Pesukah Zimra at all, then you make up.
Yeah.
But if he said Pesukah Zimra, you had said, then you don't have to be Mashlim.
Because Ishmar is just because of you said that.
No, that's why you shouldn't be mapsik between Gual Yisrael, Smichas Gula, L'Tfila. That all of the Brichas Kriyashma with the Gula should be an introduction to the Tfila. It should be an enhancement of the requirement of Yisar Adam Shvach Hashal Kodesh Baruch Machakach Hispal. But the Brichas Kriyashma serve as another purpose, each another function. Each one of the Brichas Kriyashma spells out the themes of the three Parshias of Shema. First bracha spells out the theme of Hashem al Ken Hashem Echad Yichud Hashem. Second bracha spells out the theme of the second parsha, and Gual Yisrael spells out the theme of the third parsha. Hashkivenu is a separate bracha. Hashkivenu is not really part of the brachas Kriya Shema at night. Just like in the morning, there are only three brachas Kriya Shema because the three parshios. So at night is also the same thing.
Doesn't it say in the Hakdamah that Daniel said that really everyone knows that the Miuchas of the Ramban are really rather Hashba? The only reason he says Niyukas of the Ramban is because that's when you go to the store, you want to buy a safer, you know what I'm talking about. So
okay.
You're gonna find. So that's
how I'll call it. Okay. I don't know. On the side of the Shulchan Aruch, they quote Shuvas Ramban, so it could be that's really the Rashba. I'm not familiar. The Rashba wrote an awful lot of Shuvas. Yeah. On Yom Kippurim, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, based on the Rambam, that one of the themes of the day is the theme of Malchias, just like on Rosh Hashanah. We recite the Nusach HaBracha Melech Al Kol Horetz Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So on Yom Kippur also we say Melech Moch Meselech Labo Nisena Labo Nisam Beis Yisrael Ma'av Hashem Seinu B'chol Shana M'shana. That's Mechilas HaOven. Then we say Melech Al Kol Horetz, that's Malchias Mekadosh Yisrael V'Yom HaKippurim, that's Kedushas HaYom. So one of the major themes of the tefillah is the theme of Malchias. And based on the Nusach HaRambam, Rambam Soloveitchik thought that we should add on to the Machzer. Birnbaum doesn't have it. Most of the Machzerim do not have it. That after you say in the middle of the Maariv and Shacharis and Mincha and Nila, all of the tefillahs that you say, you quote the pasuk "Bayam Azeh Chavon Atarech Mekol Chatzesech Melefnei Hashem Tetor." Then you continue "Kadshenu Mitzvasech Masech Hakenu Mitzvasecha." So before you start "Kadshenu Mitzvasecha," you say like you would have said, like you say on Rosh Hashanah, you say "Mlocha Kol Anu Kula Bechvaydech Menas Al Kol Horetz Bikarecha." Ofa Badag Yonu Zecha Kol Yeshu Vesev Yedu Kol Kol Kiyata V'Yalto V'Ven Kol Yisro Kiyata. Hashem Lagei Salach Malchusa Bakol Mashallah, and then you start. You add on those few lines before Kadshenu b'mitzvei secha. Every siddur has, every machzah has it on Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought more correct is to add it on Yom Kippur as well. And then because we usually require Samach l'chassima me'ein l'chassima, right before you say Baruch Atah when you have a bracha arucha that ends up Baruch Atah Hashem, like Asher Yotzar Bar Nefasha, something like that, ends up Baruch Atah Hashem. So you should repeat the theme that's going to appear in the Hasima right before the Hasima. So we usually end off Mivaladach Elona Melech Mercham Besalech Elohata. That's the theme of Mechilas Ha'avon. So then you should add on Dvorach HaMes V'Kayam Lo'ad, because Dvorach HaMes, or Rav Soloveitchik thought more correct is to say Dvorach Malkeinu HaMes. So a lot of Achanim say you shouldn't say Malkeinu. Rav Soloveitchik thought you don't lose anything, you thought that you gain. So Birnbaum does have it, most of the Machzam do have it, by the bracha of the Haftorah. By the bracha of the Haftorah before Musaf, in between Shacharis and Musaf. Yisrael HaTorah ve'al ho'al v'idov al-advim v'yam ha-kipurim ha-zeh shenasat alonu l'mechilo v'l'stich al-chapora So they left it in only over there. At the Chasimus Abrocha, Melech, Al Kol Haaretz, you got to mention the theme of Malchias. So right before you start Baruch Atah Hashem, they have a Dvorach HaMes V'Kayam Lo'ad. So really, they should have had it on all, on Mairiv and on Shachris and on Musaf and on Mincha and on Nila, on all of the Tfilas as well. They really should have had it in all of them, because that's the din that you need Samach L'Chasimah, Yein HaChasimah. Now that bracha that we say, Ava Torah Be'al HaAvaydah, that's by Maftir of Shachris. That's by Maftir of Shachris. By Mincha we also lane and we say Haftorah. And in Shulchan Aruch there's a Machlokes, the Mechaber Ramah representing a Machlokes of Rishonim, whether the one who says the Maftir says the Bracha is after the Haftorah, where he ends Mogen David, like on the Tainus Sibur, or he says the last Bracha as well. Ala Torah ve'al ho'avoidah ve'al envim, etc. Melech Mocha v'salech la v'nesenu. The Minik Svardis, the Mechaber writes the Minik Svardis that you do say Ala Torah ve'al ho'avoidah. Ramah quotes the Minik Ashkenazis that you don't say that, you end off Mogen David. Soloveitchik claimed that in Valozhin they follow the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon things are more correct as to do like the Mechaber. But in most Ashkenaz shuls they don't. Yeah, what's the issue? Whether you should say the final bracha or not. So Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that he discussed it with Rav Penacheges. Penacheges was older than Rav Chaim Oizer, and he outlived him. He was born before and he died after. He was a dayan in Vilna. And he wrote a sefer called Marcheshes, and he writes in the sefer that he's from the old school. He learned by the Beis Halevi, the old style of learning. And he doesn't go for this newfangled style where they analyze everything and they break everything down to its component parts. But he has a lot of analysis in his sefer as well. He has a lot of very nice tshuvas. He has one tshuva where he discusses what's the nature. The shaila is whether one who ate a per achayla has to eat on Yom Kippur. Sure, he's allowed to eat. Can he get an aliyah by mincha on Yom Kippur? Can he get an aliyah by shachris? Yes, he's observing everything he's obligated to observe. He's not healthy enough. So the rabbonim say he has to eat on Yom Kippur. So he's not really in violation of the din. He's observing the isa malach. He's not wearing shoes. He's observing everything else that he's mechuyav to observe. So he's not b'chayiv to fast. But the shaila is the Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. Is that, and we learn Kriyas HaTorah and we say a Haftorah. Is that like on the Tainus Tzibur? The Kriyas HaTorah Mincha and Yom Kippur is like Kriyas HaTorah on the Tainus Tzibur and Yolein HaHaftorah. So then you end off Mogen David. It's not because of the Kedusha Sayyim of Yom Kippur. You would do the same on some Gedali. You would end off, you would say a Kriyas HaTorah with a Haftorah and you would end off Mogen David. Or maybe we should assume that it's a Kriyas HaTorah like Shabbos to Mincha. Now, the Bisman HaZeh, the common practice is all over the world, we don't lay in any Haftorah on Shabbos to Mincha. But in the days of the Gemara said the Farish in Perek Lamem Adlikin that they used to say Haftorah from Tehillim. They used to say Haftorah from Ksuvim on Shabbos to Mincha. What's that? Haftorah from Ksuvim? What is that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik gave a suggestion as to what that's all about. The Mishnah has in Perek called Kisvei the 24 prokim in Shabbos. The Mefarshim say the Malach HaShlema says that he's printed out on the bottom of the page in the big Mishnah. It's the first Yisrael Mishnah. Malach HaShlema was a Mekubal and he was Asfardi from way generations ago. So he quotes at the beginning of Masech, the wider Rabbi Yudah HaNasei make 24 prokim. Kalim has 30 prokim, and Baba Kama Baba Tzir Baba Basra is one Masichta has 30 prokim. So how come Shabbos has 24? What kind of an awkward gematria is it over here? So he said, because in the days of the Tanakh, a Kala would wear 24 tachshitim. I don't know exactly where. Nose rings, earrings, where's there room for 24 tachshit? I don't know. Every finger had another ring, but she would wear 24 tachshit. So we treat Shabbos as if Shabbos is a Kala. So we give Shabbos HaKala 24 tachshitim. Rabbi Yudah HaNasei gave her 24 prokim and mishnayos. Those are the 24 tachshit. So the Mishnah mentions in Perek Kol Kisvei that on Shabbos afternoon, that's what it's based on. Shabbos afternoon, the people worked the whole week. They couldn't learn, but on Shabbos afternoon, they didn't go to work, so they were relaxed and they had time to learn. So the rabbi used to give a shiur, not a drasha, not a sermon. He used to give a shiur on halacha, kitzur shulchan aruch, to say what the dinim are. And they wanted everybody to attend the shiur. So they prohibited studying ksuvim on Shabbos, because reading ksuvim is like reading a novel. Once you get involved, you can't put it down. So if you're going to start reading the ksuvim, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Daniel, you're going to start reading over there, Tehillim is not exactly like that. But Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel, the parts of ksuvim that are very fascinating. So they're afraid that the people are going to get so involved in reading ksuvim, so they're not going to attend the shiur. So they prohibited reading ksuvim. So when does this din begin, and when does it end on Shabbos? Rav Soloveitchik thought, this part he said he heard from his mother. Usually he said over there he heard from his father. This he said because his mother used to say Tehillim all the time. Mm-hmm. So on Shabbos, the minig is that the people that say, the minig usually is that you say, those who say Tehillim every day say after davening, after Shacharis. But on Shabbos morning, the minig was that they said Tehillim before Shacharis. Why? So they assumed that the Yisik Tehillim is in Ksuvim. The Yisik Kriyas Ksuvim begins after Kriyas HaTorah in the morning, and it ends at Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon by Mincha. So after Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, then you can already read Ksuvim. So he suggested maybe that's why the Haftorah on Shabbos afternoon, the Gemara said Haftorah used to be from Ksuvim, to demonstrate that the Yisik Kriyas Ksuvim is over. Now you're allowed to read the Ksuvim. He also explained why is it that the minig is that on Shabbos Chalamet Pesach we read Shir Hashim, on Shabbos Chalamet Sukkot we read Koheles. Why do we read the Shir Hashim and the Koheles before Kriyas HaTorah? Shouldn't we organize it the other way? Shouldn't we say Torah B'Sheinu Torah Kodem? We should learn the Kriyas HaTorah. We always learn Kriyas HaTorah all year long. Shir Hashim is once a year, Koheles is once a year. So why shouldn't you first lay in Kriyas HaTorah and then lay in the Koheles and the Shir Hashir? So he said, maybe that's the reason why. Because once you lay in Kriyas HaTorah, then there's an Issa Kriyas Ksuvim. Then you're not allowed to lay in Koheles, you're not allowed to lay in Shir Hashir. I think in Eretz Yisrael they don't do like that. I think they lay in a lot of places in Eretz Yisrael, it's a common practice. They say, I was once there for Sukkot. So where I was, they said that there's Koheles after Kriyas HaTorah. They said that was a common practice in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik thought that the practice was bedafke for this reason. So the minig b'zman Gemara was that they used to lane Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, and they used to lane Haftorah. We don't do the Haftorah anymore, but they used to say a Haftorah. So that's the question that the Marcheshes poses, and he said this is the fundamental machlokes harishonim that's represented by the machlokes of Mechaba and Ramah. Mechaba follows that opinion that the Kriyas HaTorah Yom Kippur to Mincha is B'Torah Shabbos. Yom Kippur is also like Shabbos, not like Yom Tov. So Shabbos afternoon, you're laying with a Haftorah. So Yom Kippur also, you're laying with a Haftorah. And according to the Ramah, the Kriyas HaTorah, Yom Kippur in the afternoon is B'Torah Tainas Sibur. Is not B'Torah Shabbos, it's B'Torah Tainas Sibur. So therefore, you end off on Gein David, you shouldn't say the last bro. So that's the Shaila that the Marcheshes discusses. He quotes Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva about this. If a person is a choyle and he has to eat on Yom Kippur, Rabbi Kivega assumes that the poshut he can get an aliyah in the morning if he's observing all the laws that apply to him. But the question is, because he's observing Yom Kippur properly, but the question is, can he get an aliyah to Mincha? Because maybe the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha is B'Torah Stein is Sibur. So the Marcheshes sort of says that. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Marcheshes, I think, says like that. According to the minig of the Ramo, according to the minig Ashkenaz, that you end up Magen David, then the Kriyas HaTorah is B'Torah Tainas Sibur. So the one is not fasting, usually we don't give an aliyah on a Tainas Sibur. Others disagree with that also. They say he can't even get an aliyah. But according to the Mechaba, that the Kriya is B'Torah Yom Kippur, so just like he can get an aliyah in the morning, because he is observing everything that applies to him, he can get an aliyah to Mincha as well. There are also two minhagim. The minig is that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Balkari lanes the Kriyas HaTorah with an eerie niggin, not the normal trup, with a different trup. And the one who gets an aliyah says the bracha, Baruch Hashem, Hamavarach, instead of saying the normal niggin. So the question is, if the Kriyas HaTorah Yom Kippur afternoon is Betoras Taina Siba, it's not Betoras. So it's like some Gedalia. It's not Betoras Yom Kippur. So then the Baal Kori should lay with the normal Nigan, and the Oil of HaTorah should say with the normal Nigan. That's the common practice, because Ashkenazim follow the Ramah, and the Ramah says that Yendorf Magen David, that the Kriyas Betoras Taina Siba. But according to those who follow the Mechaber, that they assume the Kriyas HaTorah Yom Kippur afternoon is Betoras Yom Kippur, Betoras Shabbos, like on Shabbos or Yom Kippur as well. So then you should really retain the special nigun. That for sure. If the Balkor is gonna lay normal, the Oil of HaTorah shouldn't say the Eri nigun. Those have to correspond. And then whether you say Magen, whether you end up Magen David, Am Kadosh Yisrael, Yom Kippurim, should determine what nigun one should have. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. He said he discussed it with Rav Penna Chegish, and that's Rav Penna Chegish has it in his truth. I have printed here in my Birnbaum Machzor that to Mincha the Baal Koreh by the Kriyas HaTorah after Mincha, the Baal Koreh says Chatzi Kaddish in between the third Aliyah and the Haftorah. Nachamo, where do I have it? Same after Yoina, not a more. No, I don't have. Doesn't have. I don't have the Chatzi Kaddish. The old minig used to be that on every Tainas Tzibur, they used to say Chatzi Kaddish. We always say Chatzi Kaddish. On Shabbos morning, on Yontav morning, Shabbos you give 7 aliyahs. On Yontav you give 5 aliyahs. On Yom Kippur you give 6 aliyahs. The more important the day is, the more aliyahs you have. So Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh, a little more important than a regular day, so Gemara says gives 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov, you give 5 aliyahs, Yom Kippur is 6 aliyahs, and Shabbos gives 7 aliyahs. Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that the last two should be reversed, that Yom Kippur should have 7, and Shabbos should only have 6, and we don't follow Rabbi Kiva over here, we follow Rabbi Shmuel, that Yom Kippur is 6 aliyahs, and Shabbos is the highest, he gives 7. So then, the common practice is that you say Chatzi Kaddish, and then you repeat an aliyah for the one who's going to say the Haftarah. But on a Taina Sibur, the one who gets Shlishi is going to say the Haftarah. So you're not going to repeat anything for him. Because we explain, there's a machlokes in the Gemara Megillah, whether Mapta Zodah, the Minyan Akruim or not. You have to give 7 aliyahs on Shabbos. So the 7 aliyahs include the Maftir, and the Shvi is going to say the Haftarah. Or do you say, no, you have to have 7 aliyahs, and then you have a Maftir who's going to lane a little bit, and he's going to say the Haftarah as well. So we pass Kamaf, there is Ola L'minyan Akruim, like the Rabbein Tam says. We pass Kamaf, there is Ola L'minyan Akruim. Strictly speaking, the Shvi can serve as the Mafter. But since on Shabbos and Yontav and Yom Kippur, you're permitted to make Hoysophis, that's Rabbein Tam Shita, most of the Rishonim assume like that, you're permitted to make Hoysophis. So you may as well even satisfy the other opinion that the Gemara does not accept it. So we always make Hoysophis. So we give 7 aliyahs on Shabbos, and then we say Chatzi Kaddish, and then we lane again for the one who's going to get the Maftir. He lane from the Sefer Torah, and then he says the Haftar. So we're saying the Chatzi Kaddish in between the 7 aliyahs and the Maftir, who's going to say Haftar. But on the Taina Sibur, on a weekday, you're not allowed to make any Hoysophis. So you have to follow the Ikar Adin. So the Ikar Adin is that the Shlishi is going to be the Maftir. So if you're going to say Chatzi Kaddish in between the Kriyas HaTorah and the Haftarah, then it's going to be hafsok in between the aliyah that the mafta gets and the reciting of the haftaras. The Magen Avraham says that's against the din. Magen Avraham says hamafta benabi. The Gemara's lashon is hamafta benabi tzarich sheikra b'atara tchila. Mishum kavod haTorah, that people shouldn't think that the Nevi'im are just as important as the Chamish Chumshei Torah, that the first seven people get aliyahs from the Sefer Torah, and the last guy gets an aliyah from the Navi. No, everyone has to get an aliyah from the Sefer Torah. The one who's going to say from the Navi has to learn from the Sefer Torah as well. So the Magen Avraham understood from the word Tchila, Hamafta Benavi Tzarich Sheikra b'Torah Tchila, the impression that he gets is Tchila means Beli Hafsoka. Shouldn't have any long pause in between the reading of the aliyah of the maftir and the reciting of the haftar. Many of the shuls now, they say all the mishaberchs for the cholim, and they say all the mishaberchs for the Israeli government and for the Israeli army and for the president of the United States in between the maftir and the haftar. So the Magen Avraham would obviously not be happy about that. That's not right. You want to make a mishaberch for cholim? Say it earlier. Say it in between shishi and shvi. That's how they do in the yeshiva here. But it's a new years ago, I don't remember this at all. There's a new thing from the last couple of years, and it swept all over the world. Everybody picked up the shtus from everybody else. According to the Magen Avraham, it's not right. So the old minig always was that on a tiny sibur, they used to say chatzi kaddish after shlishi before the haftarah. So Rabbi Kivega writes, he did away with the minig. He says, according to this Magen Avraham, you're not supposed to be mapsik with Chatzi Kaddish in between the aliyah of the maftir and haftar. So he did away with it. So we still have it though on Tisha B'Av, Timincha, we still say Chatzi Kaddish in between the shlishi and the haftar. So it's a pella, why? But on Takan Yom Kippur, I don't think we have it. Anyways, looks like it's not here. Looks like we don't say Chatzi Kaddish. So we follow Rabbi Kivega's Takonah. He left out the Chatzi Kaddish, yeah.
So you said that you usually say all the Mishaberachs in between Shishi and Shvi. Why is it like, why Daka Shishi Shvi? Why don't you just wait till like after everything? Or?
It's better to say after everything. Better not to say any Mishaberachs at all. I remember Rabbi Soloveitchik said when we learned Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, we learned Shulchan Aruch. So he said, more correct is they shouldn't make any Mishaberachs at all. They should make one Mishaberach after the whole Kriyas HaTorah is over. So I think in Yeshiva and Haaretz Yon, I think they do like that. I think they did away with all the Mishaberachs. Kriyas HaTorah takes half the time. Mishaberachs eat up a whole day. Yeah.
Prior we did all the Mishaberachs during Pesicha.
Where?
When you open the Aron Kodesh, you open the Mishaberach.
Good.
Still takes 10 minutes.
Okay. But it's not right to have it in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah. That's takanat, right? On Yom Kippur, the Takanas Chachamim was to recite the Vidui at the conclusion of the Shmon Esrei by Maira, by Mashachres, by Musa, by Mincha, and by Ne'ilah. On Erev Yom Kippur also, by Mincha, we say at the conclusion, and then on Yom Kippur as well. In the Chazaras HaShatz, on Erev Yom Kippur Mincha, the Chazan does not repeat the Vidui, but on there is no Chazaras HaShatz by Maira, but by Shachres, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, in the Chazaras HaShatz, the Shliach Tziba does repeat the Vidui. Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, it's not that the Tzibur, Bismarck Gemara, the Tzibur didn't say Vidui, only the Chazan said the Vidui. The Gemara says everybody in the shul has to stand up when the Chazan saying the Vidui. Now, the common practice is that the Tzibur says along with the Chazan, the Chazan doesn't even say it out loud, so that's not right. So we Yoytze B'Dieve, the Chazan usually says some of them out loud. Some of them. He says the last two out loud, till every says Val Kulam Lakaslicha Slachlanu. Then he says again the last two out loud. So he says six or eight. He says a few of them out loud. The more correct really is you should say everything out loud. Then the Gemara says, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, we may have mentioned it before, Rosh Hashanah, that Mikradin, when your Kodesh is open, you're not really mechuyev to stand. For two reasons. First of all, the Taz writes in Yeridan Hilchas Sefer Torah that the Aron Kodesh is usually four tefachim deep and 10 tefachim tall. So it's a Rishus Bifnei Atzma Al Pidin. So the Sefer Torah is in a different room. Unless you have such a narrow Aron Kodesh, most of them are not so narrow. Most of the Aronis HaKodesh are so wide and so deep that it's a Rishus from the Atzma, so you're not Mukhayif to stand. Furthermore, even if the Chazan would take out the Sefer Torah, standing still with it, you don't have to stand. The only time you have to stand is when someone's walking with the Sefer Torah. But if someone's standing still, let's say when they bench Rosh Chodesh, so the Chazan stands with the Sefer Torah, is holding it, but he's not walking with it. So then, strictly speaking, you don't have to stand. I don't know, Rabbi Mordechai Tendler writes that Rabbi Moshe, when he was an old man, it was hard for him to stand. So he would always stand when they open up the Aron Kodesh, but it was too difficult. So they would be careful to have the Aron Kodesh open so little that there was lavud between the two doors of the Aron Kodesh. So it's considered as if the Aron Kodesh was closed. So what did you gain by opening it? I don't understand. And Mikra Adin, I don't know, whatever. Rabbi Moshe disagrees with the Taz. Strictly speaking, Rabbi, like Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Mikra Adin, you don't have to stand. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, if a person is old and weak, so then he doesn't have to stand when they open up the Aron Kodesh every time. You have to stand when you say Shemana Esrei, if you're up to it. And then the Gemara says you have to stand when the Chazan says Chazaras HaShatz gets up to the Vidui. The Gemara says everybody in the Shul has to stand. So the Gemara says also the Chazan would, in the Chazaras HaShatz, the Chazan would recite the Seder HaAvoida. Our practice is we only recite the Seder HaAvoida in Musaf. And the days of the Goyim, there were communities, no, it's a Goyim, it says like that. There were communities where they recited the Seder Avodah by Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, all three. I don't think they said by Nila, but by Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, they recited the Seder Avodah. That's based on the Neshama form, so saying that the Pasuk in this week's Haftarah, in Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Now, Haftarah says in Neshama form, so saying that when you're unable to bring karbonis, at least you should recite the psukim of the karbonis. Amalei ane aleim kilu hikrivam. Yeah. So the acharonim have a machlokes when we recite the vidui at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei on erev Yom Kippur and on Yom Kippur, Ma'ariv and Shacharis and Musaf Mincha Nila, should one first say Yul L'Ratzon Imrefi and then say or should he not say a yearly rotzen imrefi? So this is a machlokes achrayim. What exactly is the machlokes achrayim? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say every so often, he used to go through this every year, all the inyanim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So he thought the davar pashut that kol zman, you know, this is the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Calls man, you don't say Yul Ratzon Imrefi. You didn't finish the Shmoneh Esrei yet. That's a person finished the Shmoneh Esrei. Says Baruch Hashem Yisrael Bashalom. Then it says Yul Ratzon Imrefi Hagin Libi Lefanecha. And then the Chazan is up to Kedusha already, and you're in the middle of Lakayim Nitzal Dushani Miro. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that you may answer. There is an opinion that you only answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, because there was an opinion in the days of the Gemara that you say Amen Yeheshmei Rabba even in the middle of the Tefillah Balachash. That's I'm still davening Shmoneh Esrei, and the Chazan is saying Kaddish. So there's one opinion that Heshmei Rabba is such an important aniyah, you're allowed to answer that even in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. We don't accept that opinion because we have a pasuk with the Barta Bam veloy betfilo. So Tosfos learns the Bar Tosfos quotes Yerushalmi. That's a Gemara, but Yuma Daf Yutes on base. What does it mean with the Barta Bam veloy betfilo? So Tosfos interprets with the Barta Bam. You're allowed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, Mepnei HaKovid, Mepnei HaYira. Someone comes into shul and says, Good Shabbos, Good Yom Tov. So you're allowed to answer him back sometimes, depending where you are. Be'emtza Perek, Be'en HaProkim, V'loi B'Tfilo, but you're not allowed to greet the person in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. So that's Zeres HaKosu, V'di Barta Bom, V'loi B'Tfilo. You're not allowed to talk in the middle of the Shmoneh Esrei. Even applies to answering Amen Yeheshmei Rabba. Even though it's such an important aniyah, but after you finish the whole text of the Shmoneh Esrei, you said Yul Ratzon, now you're saying Alakad Nitzal Shani Meir, that's what we call Tachnunim, Achat Tfilah. So there you're allowed to answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, and that's all. That's one opinion, but that's not the accepted opinion. We paskan, you say Amen Yeheshmei Rabba, and you say Amen after Leilim Kol Berchosa, and you would answer Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kvod also. You answer Kedusha as well. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas HaRashban, the Tshuvas HaRitva, both of them, they both say the same thing. If you finish on Baruch HaSam B'Sol B'Sham, you didn't say Yul Ratzon yet, you didn't finish the Shmoneh Esrei yet, and you're not allowed to answer Amen Yeheshmei Rabbi, you're not allowed to answer Kadosh HaBaruch. If you said Yul Ratzon, then officially the text of the Shmoneh Esrei is over, and the lakayin that sold the shamira is considered tachnun and machat tfilosim. So Rav Soloveitchik used to assume that this machlekes achrayim, whether you have to first say on Yom Kippur yil l'rotzen and then say lakayin I'm saying on a table of nachat tfilosim and the say the vidui is whether the reciting of the vidui should be b'toras tachnunim achat tfilosim. So you have to say yil l'rotzen first. Well, no, it should be an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. So you shouldn't, bedavki, you should not say Yehul HaRatzon and Mefi. You're going to say Yehul HaRatzon, then it's going to be after the Shemana Esrei. That's how he thought. He thought that was the Machlokes. He thought they all agreed to his premise. The Kolzman, you didn't say Yehul HaRatzon. That's what it says in the Mechaber. Mechaber quotes it from the Tshuvos HaRashbo, and we have the Tshuvos HaRitvo now. It says the same. Kolzman, you didn't say Yehul HaRatzon. You didn't finish the text of the Shemana Esrei yet. Truth of the matter is that one could assume, one could interpret otherwise, because the Ravon has a running commentary on Gemara. So on the Gemara, the end of Yuma, when the Gemara says, after the Shemana Esrei, then you say the Vidui, so he raises a question, if the person in the middle of saying, Hashem Nebagad, Nal Chetcha Chaton Molfanecho, Chazan is already saying Kaddish, or he's saying Kedusha, let's say in Chazaras HaShatz and Shachris, are you allowed to answer or not? So he says, definitely you're allowed to answer. He says the vidui after the tefillah. So the mashmos of the Gemara, he says, is that the vidui is recited after the Gemara HaTefillah. So it could be that everyone agrees to. Could be everyone agrees that the vidui is considered tachnunim achat tefillah. So it shouldn't be part of the Shemana Esrei proper. And the machlokes achrayim is, what's the Geder Adin of Yehul HaRatzon? Because that's a machlokes of Rishayim. The Rashba, we learned Brachas last year, so the Rashba in the beginning of the Masechta, the Avdalat, I think, had a machlokes with the Ravid, what is the din of Yehul HaRatzon and Refi? The Gemara says, after you finish Maras, you should say that. So some Rishonim say, that's Tachnunim Achat Tfilos, Yehul HaRatzon, whatever you're going to say, Tachnunim, save that line. That's a pasuk, Yehul HaRatzon and Refi, save that, to say at the end, after all the Tachnunim Achat Tfilos, then you say. And others disagree, and they say, no, Yehul HaRatzon and Refi is part of the Shemana Esrei. That's not. That should be recited after Amvarachan Samisol Bashalom. That's not B'Toras Tachnunim Achat Tfilos. So the Shalom is the one who recommended you should say twice. You should say, and a lot of Siddurim, they have it in parentheses the first time. You should say Yehul HaRatzon HaMefi after Amvarachan Samisol Bashalom to satisfy that opinion in the Rishonim that completes the Shemana Esrei. That's the way we paskin. And Shulchan Aruch calls man, you didn't say Yehul HaRatzon. You're not allowed to answer, Amen Yehesh my Rabba. He's still in the middle of the Shemana Esrei. You're not allowed to answer, Kadosh, Kadosh, and Baruch. And we repeat again, Yehul HaRatzon, at the end of all the Tachnun and Machat Tfilos, after the Kain Yitzar, to satisfy the other opinion that Yehul HaRatzon should be B'Toras Tachnun and Machat Tfilos. So it could be not like Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik assumed that everybody holds from his premise that Yehul HaRatzon is the completion of the Shemana Esrei, and the Machlokes HaKrayim, whether you say Yehul HaRatzon before or after the Vidui, is whether the Vidui should be an integral part of the Shemana Esrei or should be B'Toras Tachnun HaMachat Tfilos. It could be that it's not so. It could be everybody agrees with the Ravon. We don't have any other Rishonim who's saying one way or the other. The Ravon writes at the end of Yuma. He goes Mesichta by Mesichta. He has a Bovakam also. To take a look if he has anything on our daf. So every so often he has something that the other Rishonim don't say. So it could be that all the poskim agree with the Rabban that the Vida should be recited b'teres tachnun machat tfilasa, and the machlokes achrayim, as you say Yehul HaRatzon before or after, is identical with the machlokes Rishonim, whether Yehul HaRatzon is the completion of the Shemana Esrei, then you're going to say it before, because the Vidui is supposed to be recited B'Toras Tachnunim Achar HaTefillah, after you're all finished. Or should I say no? He said, Baruch HaMisol B'Shalom, the Shemana Esrei is finished already. And then you say Yehul HaRatzon at the end, when you're all finished. I think Rav Soloveitchik used to say before Yehul HaRatzon. He used to say Vidui before. And he held Yehul HaRatzon is an integral part of the Shemana Esrei. So he felt that the Vidui should be part of the Shemana Esrei. And that's against the Ravon. He was not aware of this Ravon. I don't know if he would change his mind. So So in the Seder HaVodah that the Gemara says the Chazan is supposed to be tied to Seder HaVodah, there are the korbanos that were brought on Yom Kippur. There are two sets of korbanos that are brought. In Parshas Pinchas, you have all the Musafim, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So you have a set of Musafim. Then you have in Parshas Achrei Mois a different set of korbanos for Mechila, for Kapara. And he had to bring, the Kohen Gadol did both. He had to bring both sets of karbanas. You had to bring those karbanas. It's unclear in the Chumash what order they were brought in. So the Tanaim have a machlokes. When did he bring the musaf and when did he bring the for the avodas hayam for the kapur? The din that you require only Kohen Gadol. The pasuk said at the end of parshas, at the end of the avodah on Yom Kippur and parshas Achrei Mois, that this was Achas Bashana once a year, the Kohen Gadol has to do the Avodah, has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, can't have a Kohen Hedyot. That's a question. Do you need a Kohen Gadol for the Tomid also? For the Tomid Shachat Tomid Shabbat Abayim, the Kohen Gadol did that also. Is that really Menat Torah? So the Kesem Mishnah quotes a Ritva. I don't think he quotes a Ritva too often. He quotes a Yad Ritva in Yuma. He quotes a Ritva as mistopic to say that maybe that's only Midirabbanan, that you need a Kohen Gadol for the Tomid Shachat Tomid Shabbat Abayim. It really should have been for the Musafim also. Menat Torah probably did need a Kohen Gadol. It only says on Achrei Mois, you need a Kohen Gadol for the special karbanos that they brought for the purpose of Mechilas HaOvayim, not for the Musaf. Pashta says that not only, probably not the Raisa for the Tmidim, shouldn't be the Raisa for the Musafim either. The two different sets of, the three sets of karbanos. The Tmidim, every day of the year you bring Tmidim. Then you bring Musafim, because Yom Kippur has a Kedusha Yom. Then you bring the karbanos and Achrei Mois. There's an Ayale Oila is mentioned both. Ayale Oila is mentioned in Achrei Mois, in the Karbanos for the Kapara, and mentioned in Parshas Pinchas. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim. They didn't ask me. If they would have asked me, I would have said the two different Karbanos. That's one opinion, that's not the accepted opinion. We pass an Ayal Homa Kan Hu Homa B'chumash Abkudim. The Ayal that's mentioned in Achrei Mois is the same Ayal that's mentioned in Chumash Abkudim. Chumash Abkudim is Bamidbar. Starts off with the census of Bnei Yisrael. That's called Chumash Abkudim. So why is it written twice if it's one aisle? It's a Pella. Why is it written twice? The Chachma Sodom was a Mechutna of the Vilna Gaon. And every so often, he was a dying in Vilna during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon. He delivered a Hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. He printed his Hesped. And at the end of the Chachma Sodom, the end of the whole Sefer, he has a long biur from the Vilna Gaon on this. He has a whole bunch of kashas. This is one of the glaring kashas. Ayil ha'amakan hu'amam b'chumash abkudim is one korban. The ayil ha'oila, that's in Achrei Mois, is the same ayil ha'oila in the Masafim. So why is it written twice in the Chumash? He has another slew of kashas. He has a whole fantastic chiddush from the Vilna Gaon. Unbelievable chiddush, and then they point out it's not from the Vilna Gaon, it's from the Tanoim and the Sifrei. It says it in the Sifrei that the Kohen Gadol, whenever he wanted to, all Aaron HaKohen had the right to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim any day of the year, whenever he wanted to, even not on Yom Kippur. So when he wants to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim not on Yom Kippur, he has to bring whatever it says in Parshas Achrei Mois. If it happens to be on Yom Kippur, then he can kill two birds with one stone. He doesn't have to bring two different ayilos. He'll bring one and it'll be Oyle Lakan and Lakan. So why is it written twice? Because the Karbanos and Achrei Mois could sometimes be brought not on Yom Kippur. That's Chiddush, but it says in the Sifrei like that. I remember the Sifrei, the Sifra. He quotes Tanoim say it like that. So he quotes a whole the Chachma Sodom, the end of Hilchas Avel. He quotes this long biur from the Vilna Gaon. The Baal Hamor writes that all of the Paitonim made a major mistake, that they wrote that there were payosas on Yom Kippur also. They used to have a lottery to determine who has the right mishoichet, who has the right to shech the Tomei Shel Shach, who has the right to do Kabbalah Sadam from all of the Kohanim, who has the right to do Halacha Sadam, Zrika Sadam, Haktorah Seymurim, who has the right to do. So they used to divide up the Avodah with many Kohanim. On Yom Kippur, everything is done by the Kohen Gadol, so it does make sense. There are no payosas. So the Baal Hamor writes, all the Paitonim made a mistake. They have four payosas on Yom Kippur. It's not the same four payosas that they have every day of the year. So he said they all made a mistake. There were no payosas on Yom Kippur. So the Ramban comes to defend all the paitonim. He says only the Baal HaMoor knows the truth. All the rabbis from the earlier generations, they were all in the dark. Now, and he says they knew what they were talking about. There were four payosas on Yom Kippur. Also, one of his main kashas is the whole second parak in Yuma is dedicated to the payosas. So if it took place only 353 days a year in Yom Kippur, Bedavka, they never had payosas. So what's this parak doing in Yuma? It should be in Tomid. In Tomid you have it. Mishnah is Tomid. You have all about the payosas. Why do you have all these details in Maseches Yuma if it never took place on Yom Kippur? So Rav Baruch Epstein claims in his autobiography to be a descendant from the Ben Beneshti family. He thinks that they're descendants from the Baal HaMoor's family. Sephardim. He said they're not really Ashkenazim. And when it came to that part of Germany, I think, that was called Epstein, some section in Europe, Germany, Austria, I don't know, so they took on the name Epstein, but really the original family name used to be Ben Beneshti. Sounds like Italian gangsters. Italian mafia people. Ben Beneshti. So he has to defend his ancestor. So he writes in his autobiography he's going to defend the Baal HaMoor. What's the Perek doing? Agav Gror. Okay. The whole Perek was put in Mishnah Yuma. Agav Gror. But the Ramban explains in the Mechamis on Yuma, explains the first one of the payosas that we can understand, Trumas Adeshin. Tosis has the two opinions. Trumas Adeshin was done in the middle of the night. So that's not Avodah Sayyum. That was done before Alos HaShachar. So maybe the only thing that needs a Kohen Gadol is Avodah Sayyum. The Avodah is done in the daytime. But what about the other three? So Ramban figured out, he quotes from the Piyutim that everybody said the Seder Avodah. Which were the other three payosas? They're not, some of them were Avodahs that are only Midrabbanan and not needed Minatora. He defends the Kamsach in the Seder Avodah. The Beis Yosef has a running commentary on the tour. So usually you have tour on the page, and then you have Beis Yosef on the inside, and Bach on the outside, like I have. On the Gemara, you have Rashi on the inside, and Tosis on the outside. And here, the Beis Yosef takes up a whole page, the no tour, the only Beis Yosef, to correct the text of the Seder Avodah. In the 1500s, the two Nuschos, the Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Sfard, the Piyutim are different, the poetry is a little different, and in the days of the Beis Yosef, the Nusach Sfard had more mistakes than the Nusach Ashkenaz, so he corrects it line by line. A lot of the corrections he quotes from the Abu Jam, and a lot he adds on his own. So after the Beis Yosef corrected it, the printers were nice enough to include all the corrections into the Machzor. And then after they were corrected, now the Nusach Sfard is better than the Nusach Ashkenaz. Everything is correct. Nusach Ashkenaz is full of mistakes. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he would really prefer to say the Nusach Sfard, but what can he do? His family tradition is that you say Nusach Ashkenaz, so he's stuck. So he says the Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Ashkenaz has a couple of mistakes here and there. So the Chayodim has a long footnote in the Sefer Chayodim, Hilchos Yom Kippur, where he corrects some of the mistakes. He doesn't correct all of them. He corrects most of the mistakes. So one of them is, I remember once I was preparing a shiur, I was sitting in Broyers and Aseres Mei Tshuva, I was sitting in the shul. They were davening mincha. It must have been on some Gedalia, I don't know. So they were davening mincha. I wasn't davening with them. And I was looking at a machzor and writing down notes on the Seder Avodah. So one nudnik comes over to me. He says, what are you doing? What are you learning? So he's saying, I'm learning about what the Nusach should be on Yom Kippur. How many times do you say Achas, Achas V'Achas? He says right away, three times. He said, three times. The old men used to say that, it used to be that you say twice, Achas V'Achas, Achas Shushtayim, because both on the Par and the Sawyer, Par Kohen Gadol, that he pays for, and the Sawyer Lashem, they have to have Zrikas Adam, Achas L'Mah, L'Mishev L'Mata, in front of the Paroiches, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in front of the Kapoiras, and then he did in front of the Paroiches. So he did it four times, twice on the Par and twice on the Soir. So more correct is you should say it four times if you're spelling everything out. The old Nusach used to be only have it twice, and then you say, and he repeated the same thing by the Soir. But to have three times, that's neither here nor there. That doesn't make any sense at all. But that's, he knew Baal Peh, the kid knew right away. As a young kid, they knew the Nisach by heart. Three times. So the Beis Yosef, that's one of his corrections based on Abba Drami. He should really say four times. Achas, achas, v'achas. In the days of the Tanoim, the Gemara quotes, there was a machlek. It seems to be a machlek za Tanoim. How did he say? Achas lemaila v'sheva lemata means he dipped his finger. I call hazor tefila. You have to dip his finger in each time he wants to do a hazor. He can't just dip his finger in once and do a lot of zrikas. I call hazor tefila. Has to dip his finger each time. So he does once achas lemaila, dips his finger in, he goes like this, and sheva lemata dips his finger in, he goes like that. Dips his finger again, goes like that. So you're supposed to count separately. The achas lemaila, sheva lemata. You don't count from 1 to 8. You count 1 separate and 1 to 7 separate. So which number do you mention first? A detail machlek. They say achas, achas, v'achas. How do you go? What's the next one? They say shtaim v'achas, sholosh v'achas, arba v'achas. Or they say achas v'shtaim, achas v'sholosh. Everybody knows we say achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtaim, achas v'sholosh. Another Tanaim said that fraket, you say shtaim v'achas. So the Gemara says, what are they fighting about? What's the machlokes? The Gemara said, no machlokes. Marki Asrei, Marki Asrei. Whenever there's a mitzvah that's supposed to be fulfilled by speaking, he's supposed to speak in the correct way, the way it's accepted in the common spoken language. So the question is, when you say the king was in the parlor counting something, I forgot about how it goes, 4 and 20
black was baked in a pot,
4 and 20. In modern English you don't say 4 and 20, you say 24. So the different minhagim in Yiddish, you say 4 and 20. You say 4 and 20. Nobody speaks Yiddish anymore today. Hardly anybody speaks Yiddish. In modern Hebrew, you say 24. You say Esm V'Yarba. In Chumash, most of the time, it'll say the smaller number first. In Ksuvim, in the Bim Ksuvim, most of the time, it says the larger number first. The way you speak the spoken language changed over the years. Every language is different. I once asked Rabbi Ben Chaim, how do they speak in Arabic? So he said, they say also, he doesn't know ancient Arabic, he says now they say the larger number first, they don't say the smaller number first. So the Gemara says, Marki Asrei, Marki Asrei, if the Kangodol comes from that part of Eretz Yisrael, where the normal way to speak is to say the larger number first, then he should say, Shtaim V'Yachas, Shalosh V'Yachas, Arba V'Yachas. But if he comes from that part of Eretz Yisrael where the normal practice is that you say the smaller number first, then you should say achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh, achas v'yarba. Yeah, the question is that today we speak English and we always say the larger number first. And Eretz Yisrael, you speak modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew is like in Nevi'im Uksuvim. Most of the time, the larger number is first. In Chumash, most of the time, the smaller number is first. So that's the question. Why do we still say in the Seir Avodah, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholosh? Why do we count Sfira like that also? You say, Hayam Shlosha, when on Lag BaOmer, you say Hayam Shlosha, Shloshim Yom. You should say Shloshim Shlosha Yomim, not Shlosha or Shloshim Yom. So the Magen Avraham says, why do we count Sfira Somer like that? So the Magen Avraham lived in the late 1600s, says Mered Nachala Yiddish, and Yiddish, everybody says the smaller number first, but nobody speaks Yiddish today. So that's why many Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael say we should change it. We should change the way you count Sfira Sam. You should really change the way you say on Yom Kippur also. The Gemara says, Mark Yasrei, you should say the way it's normal to say. So that's an issue. Are there any differences between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Sfar? Yeah.
Like, what about the idea, like, Min Hagav Asinu V'Yadinu? Like, if that's what we've been saying, then is that...
But the Magen Avraham says that the reason why it's been established like that is because it's the halacha requires you should say the way it's normal. So if normal changes, say you change. The Magen Avraham says that. The reason why it was established is because that was considered normal at times. The Magen Avraham says, because we all speak Yiddish. In Yiddish, you say the smaller number first. But if you live in America, that's the problem. You should really change it. That's the rule.
How Kol Hazor Tefila usually refers to dipping something it, or can also refer to someone being
No, that's a famous story by the Abba Shvuyim. There's a story in the days of the early Rishonim, late Geonim. There were four Rabbanim who were on a boat in the Mediterranean, and they were captured by pirates. And they knew that they were worth a lot of money, so they sold each one in the Jewish community. They knew they were rabbis, so they held them ransom. So they sold each one of them to a different community to make money. It says they were going for Hachnosas Kala. They're not sure exactly what Kala. Kala means a public shiur. Kala means a wedding. What do you mean for Hachnosas Kala? So one of the Abba Shvuyim was in Europe. They sold them to a Jewish community in Europe. Some were sold to Africa, North Africa, I think. I think Rabbi Hananel's father was one of the Abba Shvuyim. So the rabbi was giving a shiur in Mishnayah. So he said, HaKol HaZor Tvila, the Kangodl has to go to mikveh every time he does a Hazor. So one of the Baal HaBatim asked, how can it be? But it says the Kangodl only goes to mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur. It should be 55 times. He does so many different Hazor. So the rabbi was stumped. He didn't know the answer. It says in the Gemara, HaKol HaZor Tvila. So this man, who was one of the Abba Shvuyim, who was ransomed from the pirates, so he piped up and he said, HaKol HaZor Tvila means he sticks his finger into the dam. Doesn't mean he goes to the mikveh. Tvilas Etzba doesn't go to the mikveh. So the rabbi he was giving the shiur said, this man knows how to learn. I don't know anything. So he resigned and he said, make this man the rabbi. I never saw that in recent years. The Gemara says when Erev Pesach only is B'Shabbos, they didn't know whether Korban Pesach is Deicha Shabbos or not. So Hillel said he has a tradition. So the B'nai B'Seira resigned. They were the chief rabbis. They resigned. They made Hillel the chief rabbi. It hasn't happened in many millennia. Yeah.
Isn't there a thing in town that says it's in Tefillah the locus and ends up with Tefillah that going to the...
When you have Hazor and Gufa Adam, when they're going to be Mazah, Hazor Shlishi Yishvi, for a Tomei Meis, he has to go to Mikveh, but he can't begin to go to Mikveh until he first has Hazor Shlishi Yishvi. So Rabbein and Tam shows, Leka Hazor below Tefillah, if you're going to do Hazor and Gufa Adam, the person has to go to Mikveh beforehand to be able to be Mekabel the Hazor. So if a person went to a funeral, he has to go to Mikveh 3 times. He has to go to Mikveh to receive Hazor Shlishi. He has to go to Mikveh to receive Hazor Shvi. And now he's able to go to mikveh to become tahor. The third tvila is going to be metayer him. A lot of people forget that hazor shlishi shvi is not enough. You have to go to the mikveh. Hazor shlishi shvi enables him to be able to go to mikveh. And
guess kashan any time that it should be consistent definitions.
No, whenever there's a hazor an gufa adam, either hazor as dam, an gufa adam, or hazor as meipara. Whenever you do a hazon gufa adam, then the person has to go to mikveh to be mekabel the hazon. But here he's talking about hazon in Beis Hamikdash. I call hazon tefillah. You have to have tefillah etzba before you do the matan etzba, before you do the hazon in front of the kodesh hakodoshim, in front of the paroich and kapoiris, then in front of the paroiches.
I think they have in the biography of the Rishash with the Kabbalah sitter, not the Rishash anymore, the other one, that he made Aliyah Teretz Yisrael from Tehran, and he was the shamus, he was like the janitor in the Kabbalah Yeshiva in the old city, still there, off the Chatzir, the Chatmir Chatzir, and they had a shayla in the Kabbalah Shir, and he was just the janitor, but he piped up because no one answered it, and then they made him Rosh Yeshiva.
Ah! So it happened in recent years also?
The last 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Yes. So there is a discrepancy, yeah.
Yeah, so Rabbi speaking about the Avodah that we say in our davening, that we should switch it to Achad of Shtayim, perhaps, to Shtayim to Achas. But nowadays, like, aren't we recounting like what it was like 2,000 years ago? So maybe it's not how we're saying that.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe that's the answer. Good. We hope that's the correct answer. Okay. There is a discrepancy between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Svarad. That Rabbi Shlomo de Vilna points out in the back of all the Gemaras, you have Haoris that are called Cheshek Shlomo. There were two brothers who were Dayanim of Vilna in the late 1800s when the Vilna Shas was being printed. One was, the older brother was Rabbi Tzal of Vilna, he was the big genius in the family, and then Rabbi Shlomo de Vilna was the younger brother. He was the lesser genius. So it's called Cheshek Shlomo. So in the end of Yuma, they have a Haoris in the Cheshek Shlomo. He points out there's a discrepancy between the Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach Sfarad regarding when the Tomas Shel Bein Habayim was offered. In the Mishnah, it never says. When did they bring Tomas Shel Bein Habayim? The Avodah was divided into five units. If you read the Chumash, you get the mistaken impression that Avodah is only divided into three units. Avodah was done on Big Day Zohav, like a regular Kohen Gadol. Then he did the Avodah Big Day Lov, and then he did Avodah Big Day Zohav. He wraps everything up in Big Day Zohav at the end. And the Torah Shabbat Peh says that's not the way you do it. You have to divide Avodah into five units. Big Day Zohav, Big Day Lov, and Big Day Zohav, Big Day Lov, and then Big Day Zohav at the end. Avelbala Soloveitchik has in his Sefer on Yuma a suggestion. He has a Chiddush. I think he bases it on the Ramban and the Melchamas. He says that if the Kohen Gadol would do the Avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, it'll be Yotzei. It just won't be Yotzei the added mitzvah to do Chumash Tfilas Vasara Kiddushin. That's an added mitzvah. The Torah Shabbat Peh says the Kohen Gadol should go to mikveh five times. Every time you put on Big Dekuna, you have to go to mikveh. When a non-Jew converts, he has to go to mikveh because he's going to acquire Kiddushas Yisrael. When the Kohanim were chosen, they were endowed with Kiddushas Kuna, so it says they had to go to mikveh. So when a Kohen Gadol comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to put on Big Day Kuna, Bizbanshi, Big Day Malayim, Kunasim Malayim. Has a higher level of Kedushas Kuna. There's a Kedushas Kuna Shebigvulin, there's a Kedushas Kuna Shebamikdash. So because when a Kohen is going to put on Big Day Kuna, it's going to be endowed with a deeper degree of Kedushas Kuna, so he has to go to Mikveh. So he puts on Big Day Kuna five times on Yom Kippur. So the Rabbi Abel understood, if he'll do the Avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, that'll be fine. But it just won't be Yotze, this added Hidur of Chumash Tvilas Vasari Kiddushin. So that's why he divides it into five different units. So the Mishnahs tell you exactly when the Musafim were brought, the Musafim for Parshas Pinchas, when the Avodah was done, how everything done. But it never says a word about the Tom Shal Bein Abayim. It doesn't say. So that's a Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. I already forgot who says which way. So he points out Rav Shlomo Lavil and points out that the Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi and the Nusach Svard follows the Rambam, at least that's consistent. Nusach Svard follows the Rambam's opinion, Nusach Ashkenaz follows Rashi. He gives a suggestion, he thinks maybe they're both wrong. He has a suggestion, how come it's not mentioned in the Mishnah when the Talmud Shel Bein Habayim was brought? So he says, because the Mishnah says in Psochim that Talmud Nishchat, the Tom Shel Bein Habayim has to be brought in the middle of the afternoon, so the 6 hours in the afternoon. So in the Talmud, Hakrovas the Talmud takes an hour, so 2.5 hours into the afternoon is for the next hour they brought the Tom Shel Bein Habayim. So when is that? Shmoina Umachza. Shmoina Umachza means at 2:30, 2:30 to 3:30. So he says, when did they bring the Tom Shel Bein Habayim? It depends. If he's an old Kohen Gadol and he's creeping, till he finally takes care of this, takes care of that. So he's probably going to be in the middle of the third unit of Avodah, where he's going to bring the time. The clock is going to strike 2:30, and he's in the middle of the third unit. So then he'll do the Talmud Shel Bein Habayim at 2:30. And if he's a young Kohen Gadol and he's running, Miher, it says all the time, Miher, he's running from one thing to the other. He'll probably finish. He'll be in the fifth unit of Avodah by the time the clock strikes 2:30. So then I'm being the Tom Shel Bein Habayim at 2:30. Whenever happens to be whatever happens. Sometimes it'll be in the middle of the third unit. Sometimes it has to be wearing the Big Day Zohav, not Big Day Lovah. Tom Shel Bein Habayim, you bring every day to you. That's his suggestion. Not like Rashi, not like the Rambam. But that's the Rashi and the Rambam hold note that it was brought in a specific time. And they have the argument, which was it in the third unit of Avodah or in the fifth unit of Avodah? So that's one discrepancy between the two Nuschos, Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Svar. The other discrepancy is regarding Hishtach Avoya. The Nusach Ashkenaz, it has every step, the Sefer Avodah, has every step of the way. And the Kohen Gadol finishes the whole Avodah Sayyam, puts on his outfit, his clothing, and he goes home. And it doesn't say that he kneels on the floor, that he prostrates himself. And the Mishnah said in Talmud that every Kohen who goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he does a little Avodah, it always says, repeats many times over again, Hishtach v'viyotza, Hishtach v'viyotza. And they quote from the Vilna Gaon on Mishnah's Bikurim, that the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Kisavoy, How's about Bikurim? So it says, V'hishtachavi e'isa lefnei Hashem alakecho. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon, that's not necessarily part of the mitzvah Bikurim. V'hishtachavi e'isa says, din kol ha'nechnosim la'azor. Whoever enters the azor for any purpose has to be mishtachavi. So the man who brings Bikurim, the farmer, the pilgrim who brings the Bikurim, enters the azor. And any kohen who does mishochet, who does the shechita, who does kabbalah sadam, who does rika sadam, who does haktoras, everyone who does anything does hishtachma v'yotza. So why shouldn't a kohen gadol is there the whole day long? Why shouldn't he do hishtachma? So nusach svaritak it says, at the end of the day, they add it on before he leaves for the day, hishtachma v'yotza, and he puts on his regular suit and he goes home. But in nusach Ashkenaz, it's missing. So maybe they made a mistake. But the Mishnah is also missing. It doesn't say hishtachma. So Rav Soloveitchik printed a Dvar Torah to give a suggestion. Maybe there's a reason why he doesn't do hishtachva. So he suggested that every step of the day, every step of the avodah has to be done in order. And even walking from one location to the other, if not for the Gemara, one would have said he has to do the 16th avoid over here and then the 17th over there. So he has to walk. Then God says, no, the walking is part of the Seder avoid. And he has to walk in a normal fashion. He can't walk on his hands. He has to walk on his feet. And the Gemara derives that you see if you walk backwards, because when he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim to go into the Hechel, so he walks out backwards. That's why by some Hasidic Rebbes, that's a practice. When you finish having a visit by a Rebbes, he walk out backwards. That was Yodu on Chaim Berlin. When he used to speak to Rabbi Hutton, so he made them walk out backwards. You're not allowed to walk, turn your back to him.
Get a button.
Huh?
Get a button and he would open the door only if you walked out backwards.
Yeah. He was a colorful individual, putting it mildly. So, so Rav Soloveitchik had this suggestion, maybe since every step of the way is part of the Seder Avodah, and the Chumash doesn't say Hishtachva, so maybe he's not allowed to do Hishtachva. A big Chiddush. A very big Chiddush. The Mishnahis have when the Kohen Gadol is tovel in the mikveh five times on Yom Kippur, so it says when he comes out of the mikveh, he dries himself off with the towel. So it sounds like your mother says, dry your face before you walk out in the winter, you're going to get chapped hands. You're gonna start. What does the Mishnah have to say? All of an istapeg, he comes out of the mikveh, he dries himself off. What's the significance of mentioning that? So the Mishnah Melech suggests maybe it's a halacha. Maybe it's a halacha that if he's not going to dry his body, the droplets of water may constitute a chatzitza in between the big de kuhuna and the body. Because the Mishnah says you have to be careful not to have any chatzitzas, unless he has a band-aid. So the Gemara talks in the beginning of the second paragraph of Zvachim about dinam of chatzitza. All the halachas of chatzitza by tefillin are based on the Gemara, what's considered a chatzitza by Big Dekuna in the beginning of the second parak in Zvachim. So that's the Mishnah Lamelech suggestion. Maybe all of his topic has to dry himself off because it shouldn't be a chatzitza. That's what some later poskim say. So those who go to mikveh every morning before they daven, so they should be careful to dry their hair because they're going to put on tefillin. So the droplets, if you have a droplet of water, the droplet of water may be a chatzitza between the hair and the tefillin. There's a sefer Mikdash David, Rab David Rappaport. He died in Siberia, middle of the Second World War. He died from malnutrition. He was a single fellow, and he wrote this sefer Tzemach David Ha'oris on Shubas Rabbi Kiveger. And Rabbi Hanav Asman was so taken by the Sefer, so he invited him to give the highest shir in Baranovich, above him. And then when he came, he realized, number one, he was single. He wasn't married. How can the Rosh Yeshiva be a single guy? And then number two, he stuttered so terribly that people didn't know what language he was talking. Rabbi Drillman used to be a Rabbi here in Yeshiva. He said, we didn't know. It took over half a year till he understood what he was talking about. No one understood what he was talking about. So Rabbi Chana was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Moses. So he went to Vilna, he asked, what should I do? I hired this person sight unseen. And then he came, so he says, no. He says, the single, that'll straighten out. He's going to get married. Ultimately, he did get married. And then before he died from malnutrition in Siberia, in the middle of the Second World War, he made sure that there were Edim who would It would be there when he dies, so his wife wouldn't be an agunim. Mm-hmm. They would know for sure that he's dead. But then afterwards, when they went, when the wife, he died, and then when the wife went to Eretz Yisrael, it still took a while till they were, till they allowed the wife to remarry. Anyway, so he was a great Gaon. So he wrote a sefer. He learned in Slabodka. So he says they learned Kochim in the Kollel in Slabodka. They learned Kochim, and he says they had never learned Kochim before. So it was so strange to them. They couldn't break into it. They couldn't figure out what's going on. They had to learn it a few years till they finally figured out the ABC. And one of the Kollelim in the Kollel was everybody has to write down whatever their mechadish. So he wrote like encyclopedic articles. About Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, Haktara, he has Korban Pesach, Musafim. He wrote essays and he quotes everything under the sun that there is to quote. He quotes fantastic. It's like encyclopedic articles, it's tremendous. So he raises a question on what the Mishnah Melech said, that the reason why the Mishnah says Olam in this topic, he dries off that it shouldn't be a Chatzitza. He asks that the Mishnah has the same expression in Mishnah's Parah. When the fellow's doing the paraduma, you don't wear big dekuna, you wear plain clothes. If the paraduma is burnt outside of the Beis Hamikdash and the Haraz Eisim. So he says it can't be because of chatzitza. He's not wearing big dekuna. So he gives a different suggestion. He quotes the dinim from Maseches Chagiga that it says that there's a din midirabbanon. In our Torah, the din is if a person is tummy, he's talking about a mikveh, he doesn't have to have kavana for tahara purposes. It becomes Torah me'elov. Tefillah and a mikvah does need kavana, but with the rabbanon, when you get to kochim, you have to have kavana. So let's say a person was tefillah and a mikvah, planning to eat truma. He didn't plan to eat kochim. Then he wants to eat truma. Then he wants to eat kochim. Has to be tefillah again. Or let's say he planned to eat kochim, but he didn't plan to do paradumas. He has to be tefillah again. You have to be tefillah shame that higher level of tahara that you really want to have. So he says. The Gemara says there, what if the person already was Tovel? He had in mind just to be Torah for to eat Maisa Sheni with Tahara. Then after he's Tovel in the Mikvah, then he decides he may want to eat Truma also. So the Gemara says, as long as he has the Kavana before he dries himself off, then it's okay. Before, until you finish drying yourself off, it's still considered in the middle of the Tefillah. So he says, maybe that's why it says Olam in this topic, but he says he doesn't think it's correct to say that it's because of the chatzitza issue. It says it can't be because of the chatzitza.
Is that with the minhag of na'av saying bracha before you dry your hands from some? Like that's part of the
kiddushin? Not really. I don't think so. No, the Balei HaTais has developed that minhag because a lot of times a person just touched his shoes or he touched his body. He's not allowed to say a bracha. So they didn't want to say the bracha before. So they said the bracha after Ayis Lachar Asiyosam. So they justified it because the Gemara says in the beginning of Soitan, the first parak on Soitan, Hey, I think that Oichol Bali Nigav Koichol Kilo Oichol Lecha Tomei. If you wash until it's your dime, you didn't dry your hands, and then you eat a sandwich and your hands are still wet, so that's not proper. Kilo Oichol Lechem Tomei. So you see from the Gemara that drying your hands is considered a Gemara of the Netilas Yadai. He's saying that drying your body is a Gemara of the Tefillah and the Mikvah, but that's more explicit. And that's a chiddush that he said that the Mikdash David says based on the Gemara Chagiga, but this is quotes the Gemara in the first parak and Soita that Hoichol Bali Nigav Koichol Kilo Hoichol Lechem Tomei. You have to dry your hands by Netilas Yadayim. One of the corrections that the Chayyadim does make in the Nusach of the Seder Avodah is the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanoim. When you either put on big dekuna or you take off big dekuna, the Kohen Gadol has to be toivel 5 times. Each time he's going to put on big dekuna. And he does avoid in 5 units, big dezah, big de love, and big dezah, big de love, and big dezah. So he goes to mikveh 5 times. Each time he's about to put on big dekuna. But you do kiddush nadayim raglayim when you put on big dekuna or when you take off big dekuna. So the shaila is, when you put on big dekuna, do you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before you, when you put on or you take off big dekuna? Do you do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim before you take off the big dekuna, when you still have your clothes on, or after you take off the dekuna and you're undressed? So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. So by putting on the big dekuna, I think all the Tanoim agree you say, you do the Kiddush Adayim Raglaim after you put on the Big Dekuna. But when you take off Big Dekuna, that's a Machlokes. So in the old text of the Seder Avodah that appears in most of the Sidurim, they never corrected it. The corrections of the Beis Yosef were put into the Nusach Svar. The corrections of Chayyadim were never put into the Nusach Ashkenaz. So in the old, in all the standard editions, it has that the Kohen Gadol would take off again. Before he's about, again, when he takes off the Big Dekuna, after he takes off the Big Dekuna, then he does Kiddush Adayim Raglaim. So the Chayyadim says, we don't pass like that. We pass like the other Tana, that he does Kiddush Adayim Raglaim before he takes off the Big Dekuna. He does it both times. When he puts on, takes off, he does the Kiddush Adayim Raglaim when he's still dressed. He does it after he puts on the Big Dekuna and before he takes off the Big Dekuna. Both of the Kiddush Adayim Raglaim are done when he is dressed. So that's one of the corrections that that the Chayyadim added on. We have the practice that when we say the Nusach HaVidui in the Seder HaVoidah, in the middle of Chazor HaShat HaMusav, so you say, On HaShem, Chatos Avisi Pashayti Lefanecha, On HaBashem, Kapano Lachatoyim Lavonis Lapshoyim, Shechatos HaVishavi, what do you mean? On HaBashem, what does that mean? It's a very difficult lotion. On HaShem Chatos HaVisi, On HaBashem, that's the way it's printed. Tosafot it quotes like that. And the Mishnah says on a Hashem, and he said Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's a question. How he what is the correct pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei? So the Tosafot Yonta quotes different opinions, three different opinions. So we don't know what it is. So we say on a Hashem, but then you say on a Bashem. What does it mean? On a Bashem Kapa Nala Chatoim. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that perhaps what it means is on a pause, not on a Hashem pause. Ona here in Birnbaum Machzor has Ona Bashem Kama Kapa Nol Chatam. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's not correct. It doesn't make any sense. What does the phrase mean? Ona Bashem Kama Pause Kapa Nol Chatam. He thought Ona Kama Bashem Kapa Nol Chatam with the Shem Hamfeirosh. What does that mean? So he thought he quoted from the Bnei Yisoschar in his drasha. He rarely quoted from Chassidus Svar. He used to quote from the Baal HaTanya a lot, but not from the Bnei Yisoschar. So this is the one thing. He used to quote one thing from the Kedushas Levi also. Only one thing. He used to quote all the time. And this one he quoted from the Bnei Yisoschar, that the nature of Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur is that the Shekhinah is there. Shekhinah is with us. We spoke yesterday about it. We say seven times Hashem Alekim because the Shekhinah is going back. I mean, blow shofar after Yom Kippur, simen l'siluk Shekhinah. So the Hashuas Hashekhinah is with us. So that's the way. If you have clothing that's dirty, soiled, and you want to clean it, so you wash it off with water and with detergent, and you rub. You rub one part of the garment against the other. Years ago, when they didn't have washing machines, so that's what they would rub, shif shuf. So when one soul is soiled because of sins, so if you rub against the Shekhinah, that's the way to become purified. So that's what it means. It's Hashuas Hashekhinah, and Itzuma Shel Yom is Mechaper. By rubbing against the Shekhinah that's with us, that's how, by rubbing shoulders with the Ribbon Shel Olam, that's how you become Tohar. So that's what it means. Ona Bashem Kapano. The base means Ani Kosev. He said Ani Kosev Basef. I'm writing in the book. I say Anika say ba'eit, I'm writing with a pen. Doesn't mean I'm writing in the pen. Anika say with a pen. So ona bashem kapano means bashem kapano, with the shem hamfarish, with the fact that the Shekhinah is with us, that should serve as a kapora for us. This was his suggestion. Yeah, how many times do you do hakana vam hom de mazor hakoyim mishtafim amodim? So we usually have it, the Kohen Gadol says vidui three times. First, Ani Ubeisi, himself and his wife, then Ani Ubeisi, Bnei Aaron, Am Kadoshecha, the Kohanim, then the third time for all of Klal Yisrael. So we have three times, Akad Vam Ham de Mazor. But really, more correct, based on the Mishnah, says it should be a fourth time, when the Kohen Gadol says Lashem Chatos, because the Mishnah said beferish, that everyone would kneel on the floor at that time. So the Baal HaTanya added that on. Rav Soloveitchik was brought up in a Lubavitcher village. His father was the rabbi in Chaslavich, which was a Lubavitcher village. So he thought that that's more correct. He should add that also. But unlike the Alter Rebbe, first Lubavitcher Rebbe said you should add it in the Nusach HaTfilah, but the Tzibah should only kneel three times in the Seder Avodah. Rav Soloveitchik thought that he gave a reason, Al Pi Kabbalah, why you shouldn't kneel when you say Lashem Chatos. Rav Soloveitchik thought Al Pi Pashtus, Eichon HaMikdosh, we should kneel the fourth time as well. He said when he lived in Eastern Europe, he never saw the women kneel in shul until he came to Berlin. When he went to university, that's the first time he ever noticed that the women are kneeling in the shul. And he wondered how come they didn't do this in Eastern Europe. And he thought all the menhagim were correct in Eastern Europe where he came from. So he came to the realization, it says, Hakana Maham Hom Dim Azara. The people who are in the Azara would kneel. The women were never in the Azara. The women were in the Ezra Snashim that had a Kedushas Harabais, didn't have a Kedushas Azara. And the Yerushalmi says, Hakrevim would be Mishtachma. The Kroivim, those who were in the Azara, HaRechoikim, those who were far away from the Kohen Gadol, they weren't in the Azara, they would say, Baruch Shem Kroi Machus El Yomvot, but they wouldn't kneel. So he said, the women were always Rechoikim. So he says, he understands very well why in Eastern Europe the common practice was that the women did not kneel.
Is that the more
preferring
things the women should kneel?
Pardon me? Rav Soloveitchik thought that it doesn't make sense that the women should kneel because there's no Zecher LeMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash the women didn't kneel LeMaisa. He thought that that was more correct, yeah.
Didn't they say in Sukkah that originally they didn't have that idea of having the stand for the woman? It was only after they had issues with
men. Yeah, I mean the higher level, they didn't have the platform, but the Ezra's Nashim was always separate. Ezra's Nashim never had Kedusha Sazorim. Rashi explains in a few places in the Gemara, the reason why they weren't in the Kaddish, the Ezra Snashim, is because if it would have Kedusha Zazar, the women wouldn't be allowed to sit. And a lot of times the women are pregnant and nursing, so it's too uncomfortable, it's too difficult for them to stand. So they gave the women a break, so that whenever they never endowed the Ezra Snashim with Kedusha Zazar. If it would have had Kedusha Zazar, they would have to stand the whole time. There were some communities in Europe. You ever hear of Shai Agnon? Famous, he got a Nobel Award for his writing, for his books in Hebrew. He wrote nice books. So he became famous also. He wrote a book on Yom Ha'Arayim, which years ago used to be a bestseller. I don't know why they don't read it anymore. So he records a lot of dinim, a lot of menhagim. So he records a minig that they had in certain communities, the bedavke, to have a pause in between Musaf and Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha on Yom Kippur because Zecher LeMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol sent the Sor HaMishtalech with an Ishiti LaMidbar, so the Mishnah says they had to wait to shear Gimel Milin till he gil et Trilas HaMidbar. How do they know that it's Gimel Milin? So the Mishnah says, Reb Yudah says in the Mishnah, simple, by us it's easy, a mil is 22 and a half minutes, so it'll take a little over an hour. No? 66 minutes. Another 10 minutes. So they would wait till they knew for sure. So the Mishnah says, simple how. The people would go walk with the Ishiti 1 mil. 1 mil is Trum Shabbos. They're not allowed to go further. The Ishiti goes Chutz L'Trum. He has to go to the Tzuk. Gela Tzuk, quite a walk. It took him a long time. But they would walk with him 1 mil, then they would walk back, then they would wait 1 mil. So they would know that Higi Asor LaMidbar. One Tana says, no, they used to wave flags to notify the Kohen Gadol, because he can't begin the next Avodah of Lein and Kriyas HaTorah before Higi Asor LaMidbar. So because in the Beis HaMikdash there was a little over an hour and a quarter pause in the middle of the Seder Avodah, because the Kohen Gadol couldn't lane until Higi Asor LaMidbar. So there were some shuls in Europe, some communities, where they had a minig bedavke to have a pause in the middle of the davening. And interesting, even the pause was a Zecher LeMikdash. Yeah. This year there's a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so that's Shabbos HaZinu. So the Gemara has in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah a special din. When you lay in HaZinu, you have to lay in the Beis HaKnesses the same way they used to say HaZinu in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yisraelin Hazinu was divided into six parts, and the Rosh Tevis of the six units is Hazivloch, Hei Zayin Yud Vav Lamed Chof, And they after they would bring the musaf, after the Talmud Shal Shachar, they did Nisach Hayayin and Nisach Miz Mishal Yom HaShabbos. After the musaf, they did Nisach Hayayin for the musaf, and they said the first part of Hazino. Then the next week they said the second part. It took 6 weeks. Then on the after the 6 weeks we're up and they finished all of Hazina, then they started again. Chozer Chaliva. Then by Mincha in the afternoon they would say Oz Yashir until Micha Moicha, then from Micha Moicha to the end, and then Oz Yashir by Shiras HaBe'er. So the Gemara says that would take 3 weeks. The first week after Thomas Shal Bein Habayin they would say the first half of Oz Yashir. Second week they would say from Micha Moicha to the end. Third week they would say Shiras HaBe'er. So it would take, in 3 weeks they would finish, and in 6 weeks they would finish twice, and in 6 weeks they would finish the whole Hazino once. So the Gemara says, Kedarch Shechalukim Kan, just like if you read a poem and you pause in the wrong place, so you kill the whole poem. You have to know what the meaning of the poem is. A Hazino is a poem. It doesn't rhyme, but it's still a poem, and that's why it's written like a poem. It's not written like prose in the Sefer Torah. So you have to pause at the correct place. So you have to stop at Hazivloch. Which exactly are these pauses? So there are different pirushim. You look in Rashi is probably meaning Ashkenaz. So Rashi tells you that each aliyah, each one has, I think, six psukim. The first three or four have six psukim, then the last one have eight or nine psukim. That's how it's divided. Tosfos quotes are Ben Hanan or others. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Nara Nara Upashte, every community should follow their minhagim. So the Pashta says that we follow Minhag Ashkenaz, so we should follow the Rashi. The reason why there's an issue is because the first ones to publish the Chumash were San Sino and in Europe. And San Sino in Italy, San Sino was Minhag Svart. So they put in the Svartische Hapsokas. So the Ashkenazim shouldn't follow San Sino. We should follow the Svartim, should follow the Minhag Svart. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is. Nara Nara Upashte. Nara Nara means every river has the tributaries. The water sometimes goes to the right, goes to the left. So that's an expression that you use with respect to Minhagim. The river goes and sometimes goes this way, sometimes that way. So every community should follow the Minhag HaMokom. So we should really follow the Minhag Ashkenaz. So in Yeshiva, on Shabbos Hazinu, you always have the Balkari Lane properly. There are two Minhagim, whether you makbid on Hazino, Haziv Loch, even in the middle of the week, on Monday and Thursday, or only on Shabbos. So the Ramah writes, you only have to be makbid on Haziv Loch on Shabbos. We're going to learn the whole Hazino, then you should be makbid. And the weekdays, you're not going to learn the whole Sedra, so it doesn't matter. And Rav Soloveitchik's Minig, where he came, Minig Lubavitch, where he came from Chaslavitch, they followed the other opinion that's mentioned in Shari Knesset Agdola against the Ramad, should be makbed on Hazivloch even in the weekday. So that's, here in the yeshiva they do like that. When it comes Monday or Thursday before Hazino, they're going to lay in half the Sedra. They're going to lay in by Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. This Shabbos, they're going to lay in half of Hazino. Way past what it says they're printed in the Siddur. Absolutely, said it could be that it's a violation of a din d'araisa if you stop in the wrong place. Because the din is you have to lay in kichsavoy. So kichsavoy usually is called psukah, sometimes called psukah de le paske moshe, sometimes called parsha de le paske moshe. So if you're laying in Torah's psukim, then halacha says called psukah de le paske moshe. If you're reciting kriyashma, then the Gemara says in brachas called parsha de le paske moshe, because you're reciting kriyashma with the units of parshios. So if you're going to learn less than a parsha shlema, that'll be shaloi kichsova. So if you're learning a poem, if you stop in the wrong place, so you kill the poem. So that could be a violation of kriyas haTorah shaloi kichsova. So he thought it's kedai to be machmer on this. Yeah, he used to be machmer on other things also kriyas haTorah. He used to learn half the sedra. People had to go to work. He's learning half the sedra and keep the people waiting over there. Okay. Lynette will have to figure out something to discuss on Sunday, Monday as well. Sunday. Oh, Monday there's no yeshiva. Oh, there is. Oh, there is yeshiva.
Monday is the long learning
thing. Oh, so we're going to have...
hours or whatever.
I think we have a shia somewhere.
Whatever everyone.
Yeah. Okay. I'll figure out on Monday. Okay, I'm giving a shia today at 1:30 and...